Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming. So this is the third shiur on the topic of Hadlokas Neiris. So last week we discussed the Machlokas Rishonim. So there's a dispute among the Rishonim if you make a bracha on Hadlokas Neiris at all. So we went through the Tosfos on Dav Chaf Hei Amud Beis in Bamed Madlikin. So the Yesh Sheroitzim Loimer, there were those who wanted to say that, number one, we refer to Ner Shabbos as Chova. We don't say it's a mitzvah. So even though the word Chova would sound like it's even a stronger obligation, but the very fact that we don't use the expression mitzvah, so that would show that it's not really a mitzvah. It's just a hechsher. It's just a question of having light. It's not really a mitzvah. It's just to facilitate. So you wouldn't even make a bracha. And the other argument that the Yesh Mi Shiroi Tzoleimar wanted to say was that if the candles would have already been lit, then in their opinion, there's no mitzvah to extinguish them and light again, or for that matter, to light another candle. So it's just a hechsher, it's just a facilitator that there should be light. There's no mitzvah at all per se to light the candle. That's what they all wanted to say. But Rabbeinu Tam, he addresses their argument one by one. He says, number one, the word chova could be a mitzvah. It's even a stronger obligation. So you do make a bracha. And number two, just because you don't have to light another one or you don't have to extinguish it if it's lit already, so that's just because it's obsolete to light another candle. But whenever you do need to light a candle, if otherwise it would be dark, then you would make a bracha. And Rabbeinu Tam brings other examples where, although you don't always have to do the mitzvah, for example, covering the blood, but when you do need to do the mitzvah, you make a bracha. That was one. That was the counter argument of Rabbeinu Tam. And then finally, Rabbeinu Tam says, and this is actually what we paskin, that the premise is not true. Even if there would already be a candle burning from before, there would be a mitzvah to extinguish it and to light it specifically in honor of the Shabbos, and therefore it is a gemar mitzvah. It is a mitzvah unto itself. It's something that's it's a mitzvah for its own sake, and therefore you would have to make a bracha. And that's how we paskin. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch that we make a bracha on the Ner Shabbos. It's very interesting because the poskim, they mentioned that it says that explicitly in the Yerushalmi, that you make a bracha on the Ner Shabbos, but all the contemporary poskim say that they've gone through the entire Yerushalmi and it's simply not there. So although the Mordechai and many earlier poskim bring from the Yerushalmi, somehow it's not in our text. I saw recently from Rabbi Avadia Yosef that sometimes the poskim, the early poskim, refer to the Yerushalmi. They refer to Medrash as Yerushalmi. So it could be they're not even referring to what we call the Yerushalmi. It's just very interesting that there's no explicit source whether you make a bracha or not. And Rabbeinu Tam is arriving at this conclusion on his own. Okay. Now, the Gemara says on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, it's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person only has enough money to purchase a ner beiso, a candle, and he doesn't have enough money to purchase both a candle for Shabbos and a candle for Chanukah, or Kiddush for that matter, if he at least has bread that he can eat the bread for the Suda, and at least he can make Kiddush over the bread. So if a person doesn't have, so he has bread. The first thing is bread. If you have bread, if you have challah, but you don't have enough, so you can make Kiddush and you can also have what to eat. So then the next thing was, it's a toss-up between the Ner Shabbos versus the Ner Chanukah, or wine for Kiddush. So the halacha is that the Ner Shabbos wins, because Ner Beiso Adif from Ner Shabbos and from Chanukah and Kiddush. Why? Because of Shalom Bayis. It's a famous Gemara, Shalom Bayis. So the Gemara introduces that Shalom Bayis is another reason to make sure that you have a candle lit for Shabbos. So now, it's just interesting, in item Gimel, so it's interesting, I found three different explanations for Shalom Bayis. Sure, do we have more pieces of this? I had nine old pieces. Oh yeah, they're in here. Thank you. Here we go. I have a couple more. Here's another one. You got one? I met your son in yeshiva. He looks great. He's really enjoying. Yeah. There's another sheet over here. Okay. I noticed that there were three pshatim in Shalom Bayis. We always look at Shalom Bayis as like that there should be peace at home between the husband and the wife. So I actually saw three pshatim in Shalom Bayis. So Rashi says, Rashi explains, Rashi translates Shalom Bayis. Bnei Adam Mitzarim Leshe Bachoshek. This is a quote from Rashi, that people find it hard to sit in the dark. Remember, whenever we talk about the Shabbos candles, we're always speaking as opposed to sitting in the dark, right? So Rashi says that Shalom Bayis means that it's distressful to sit in the dark. That's Shalom Bayis. Nothing to do with a husband and wife. Even if it's one person sitting alone, he's not getting into a fight with anyone, but the sitting alone, sitting in the dark is distressful. That's Shalom Bayis. The Mordechai, also in the second parak of Shabbos, in Simin Reish Tzadik Dalet, it's in the back of the Gemara under the Simin Reish Tzadik Dalet, says the Mordechai, Shlayi Koshel Be'etz O Be'evin. Shalom Bayis means that if you're in the dark, you're simply going to trip. You're going to trip over stones, you're going to trip over your furniture, your stones, you're going to trip over a piece of wood, whatever it is, you're going to trip and fall and hurt yourself. So Shalom Bayis means there should be peace at home, that you should simply have enough light to be able to function. And Rashi says a similar thing on Daf Chaf Hei Omid Beis. So it's interesting because Rashi says in one place that it's distressful to sit in the dark, and in the other place he says, like the Mordechai, that we're afraid that you're going to hit and bump into things. So that's the second explanation. And then the third explanation, which is something more than what we would have expected, the Rambam says in Hilchas Chanukah, that's the halacha that describes that if you don't have enough money for Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, then you do for Shabbos, says the Rambam, because of Shalom Bayis. And the Rambam says, Shaharei Hashem Nimchak Lasa Shalom Ben Ish Le'ishtoi. Because in the Parsha of Sota, so Hashem allows his name to be erased for the purpose of creating the potion that the woman can drink in order to be permitted to her husband. So we see that how the importance of Shalom Bayis, we see the importance of Shalom in general. And then the Rambam continues, Gadol HaShalom, peace is so great, Shekol HaTorah Nitna Lasa Shalom Ba'olam. The entire purpose of the Torah is to create shalom in the world, as it says, "Derachecha darchei noyam, v'chol nesivoseha shalom." So, how great shalom is! Hashem allows His name to be erased, and the whole world is supposed to have shalom. The Torah is supposed to create shalom in the world. So, that's the idea of shalom bayis. So, we have three different nuances what the Gemara means when it refers to Ner Shabbos as shalom bayis. But it turns out at the end of the day that there's another reason to light Shabbos candles. So, we were always discussing until now that the lighting of the Shabbos candles was for Oneg Shabbos, and we talked about eating the meal next to the candles for Oneg Shabbos. We talked about lighting the candles even if you're not going to be in the room with the candles. We talked about Kavod Shabbos, that before Shabbos it honors the Shabbos in general to get ready for Shabbos and have candles lit to provide light for Shabbos. So that's Kavod Shabbos. And now we see a third thing of Oneg Shabbos. It's interesting because I was looking around. Some people put, I meant Shalom Bayis. Some people put Shalom Bayis under Oneg Shabbos. It's like a subcategory of Oneg Shabbos. And some people put Shalom Bayis under a category of Kavod Shabbos. It's a Kavod for Shabbos that there should be Shalom in the house, that you should prepare the house in a way that will allow, that will be conducive for Shalom. So it might be like a subcategory of Kavod Shabbos. So Shalom Bayis might either fall under the category of Oneg Shabbos or Kavod Shabbos. So now we have this extra reason that you shouldn't stumble in the dark, you shouldn't bump into things, you should be comfortable, you shouldn't be distressed. So the Magen Avram, in the beginning of Simen Reish Samach Gimel, which is actually chapter 263 in Shulchan Aruch, that's actually the beginning of the Simen that discusses the halachas of Ner Shabbos in general, halachas Ner Shabbos. So the Magen Avram says right away, in the name of the Matem Moshe, who brings B'Shem the Marshal, Rav Shlomo Luria, that there's a chiv to light candles in every single room that you're planning on using on Shabbos, Friday night, because of Shalom Bayis. So in other words, if the obligation would solely have been for Kavod Shabbos, so we learned the first week, we learned 2 weeks ago, that Abaye held, you can even light a candle and leave the room, just to light a candle in honor of Shabbos. It wouldn't even necessarily be where you eat. Oneg Shabbos extends it, according to Rava, that you can't light with itron, with tar. So we mentioned there that there's an additional mitzvah to eat by the candlelight, because you'll enjoy your meal better if you eat by the candlelight. That was the original Kavod Shabbos and the original Oneg Shabbos. But since the Gemara also throws in that there's an inyan of Shalom Bayis, so says the Magen Avraham in the name of the Marshal, that now the mitzvah of lighting candles is extended to any room that you plan on using Friday night when it's dark, when it'll otherwise be dark. There's a mitzvah to make sure that there's light everywhere you plan on being on Shabbos for Shalom Bayis. Otherwise, the person might stumble and he might come to resent, he might be distressed over the fact that he can't turn on a light on Shabbos. So there's actually a mitzvah of Shalom Bayis that there should be a candle or there should be a light lit wherever you plan on being Friday night.
And on which near did they make the bracha?
Oh, very good. That's exactly what we're going to discuss now. Oh. Excellent. That's exactly so good. Okay. So it turns out, in item hey, excellent. So first of all, I see that you're smart. And second of all, I see that I'm doing a good job setting it up. Okay. In item hey, so it turns out, just to sum it up so far, that there's an obligation to light b'cheder sho'eichel in the dining room because of kavod Shabbos and oinig Shabbos, and there's an additional obligation to make sure that there's light in every room that you plan on using Friday night because of Shalom Bayis. Now, I'm sorry, that's the room that you eat is covered in oinig, right? Because that was what the Gemara was referring to when Abaye and Rava were arguing if you can light with the itron, with the tar. So Abaye says, why not? And Rava says, because we want you to be able to stay with the candle while you're eating. So that was the covered and the oinig. And now we're learning that there's also an additional factor of Shalom Bayis, which extends the obligation to every room that you're planning on using in the house Friday night. And that was in the name of the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Marshal. Now, which is the ikar? Which of these lights that we're lighting, or nowadays it would translate into turning on the light, making sure that there's at least an electric light, which of these lights is the most important? Right. So the Ramah brings the minig that we're all familiar with. The minig is, there's a big machlekes about this. We know that there's a custom that when the women light the candles, they're automatically mekabel Shabbos with the lighting of the candle. So it's interesting, if a man is home alone for whatever reason, so when he lights the candles, there's no such minig. Then we rely on the opinion that you're not automatically accepting Shabbos upon the lighting. So, for example, if a man was ever lighting, he was somewhere by himself, he would make a bracha first and then light the candles, because he does not accept upon himself the Shabbos with the lighting of the candles. Usually, the man still has to daven mincha, right? If the man is lighting himself, so he has to light at home, and then he's probably going to get into his car, or he's going to walk, and daven mincha. You can't daven mincha once it's Shabbos. So clearly, when you light the candles, you're not accepting upon yourself the Shabbos. However, there are opinions that say that the minute a person lights candles in honor of Shabbos, that itself is already accepting upon themselves the Shabbos. And the women, they follow that custom because they're the ones who usually light the candles. They're the ones who accept it upon themselves, that custom. So the normal custom is that if a woman lights, she automatically accepts upon herself the Shabbos. Because of that minhag, that's why the Ashkenazim, they follow the decision of the Ramah that the woman should light first and then make the bracha. Because if she'll make the bracha first, maybe she's already accepting the Shabbos with the bracha itself. So even though the Poskim talked about the lighting of the candle, but they somehow extend it to the bracha itself. Perhaps if you make the bracha, you're accepting Shabbos. So that's how the minhag evolved, that the women would light the candle first and then make the bracha. So this is the Ramah that says that. The minhag is, this is a quote from the Ramah in Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud. The Ramah says, and this is a direct quote from the Ramah, HaMinhag she'oise isha hamadlekes, that whichever woman is lighting, mikabelas Shabbos behadlaka. So she's automatically accepting the Shabbos with the lighting, imlo shetisna tchila, unless she specifically stipulates that she's not accepting the Shabbos. So a woman has the power to do that. Let's say, imagine if the woman is lighting at home, and then she still needs to do a few things, or she's going to be traveling somewhere and eating Friday night somewhere else, but she still wants to light at home. We'll talk about that. So the halacha is that she could light the candles with the bracha and stipulate specifically that this is an exception, she's not accepting Shabbos. But ordinarily, minastam, just automatically, when she lights the candle, the assumption is she's accepting the Shabbos. Now here's, v'afilu t'nai b'lev sagi, even if you don't verbalize the condition, even if she's merely thinking it and she knows in for herself that she's not accepting the Shabbos, the halacha is that the lighting will not automatically accept the Shabbos upon her, because she stipulated, even in her mind, that she's not going to accept the Shabbos mentally. Now, Shar b'nei bayis mutarim b'malacha ad barchu, but the rest of the members of the household did not accept the Shabbos, even if the woman of the home lit the candles. Everyone else is still allowed to do malacha until they daven and say barchu. That's the ma'ariv. So the poskim say that nowadays that we have a thing called Kabbalah Shabbos. So once we say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, or once we say L'Chadodi, then already we accepted the Shabbos even before the barchu. Now here's the point that's relevant to us. Iker hadlaka tluya b'neira shemadlikim ala shulchan. So says the Ramah that although the woman accepts Shabbos with the hadlaka, which hadlaka? Because remember, we're saying now that you have to light candles everywhere. You have to light a candle in the hallway. You have to light a candle even in the bathroom. You have to light a candle in the kitchen. You have to light a candle in the dining room. So which of the lightings, which of the hadlakas does she automatically accept upon herself the Shabbos? Which is the primary hadlaka? So says the Ramah, the primary hadlaka is the hadlaka ala shulchan in the dining room where you're planning on eating, avalo bishar neri shebabayas, not the other candle. So the Ramah clearly is implying that although the woman is around the last minute before Shabbos, she's checking all the rooms, making sure the lights are on in all the rooms, and she's lighting candles in the old days, here and there and everywhere, that she did not accept upon herself the Shabbos with those kindlings. She's only accepting upon herself the Shabbos with the lighting in the dining room. Now, the Mishnah Berurah over there in Reish Samach Gimel, Sifkat and Mem Hey, number in the note 45. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what does the Ramah mean besides the point that he's making, the thrust of what he's saying, that she doesn't accept Shabbos with the other lightings? What does he mean when the Ramah says a general statement that the primary hadlaka is the hadlaka on the table? So says the Mishnah Berurah, Hainu diyavarech alehen. That means that you should make a bracha on the lighting of the table. The lo al shar haneros, do not recite the bracha on the other neros, even though you're supposed to make sure that there's light everywhere, but the candle that gets the bracha is the one on the shulchan. Because the primary mitzvah, the primary candles, are the ones that you're eating by that light, like we've been saying, because that's the Kavod Shabbos and the Onik Shabbos. That's the primary hadlaka. V'roi shetehei habracha aleihen, and it's befitting that that's the candle that gets the bracha. Afilu al ner echad zagi, and technically you can make the bracha even on one candle. The custom of writing two candles, one keneged zachar, one keneged shomer, is a custom, but technically you're yotze with one candle, and that's the candle that gets the bracha. The candle that you will be eating by, the candle that's in the dining room. So far we've discussed that there's a lighting for Kavik Shabbos, for Onik Shabbos, there's a lighting for Shalom Bayis in every room that you plan on using, but the candle that gets the bracha is the candle on the table, the one that has the Onik Shabbos, that's the primary hadlaka. So the obvious question, so Toby, this is what you were asking, Zion, number 7.
This is like a hybrid now. This candle now becomes a hybrid.
The one for Shalom Bayis?
This one candle by Hila is
because it has the most in it. It's a loaded candle, right? So Rashi calls it Kavod Shabbos. Tosfos calls it Oinig Shabbos. And you're right that at least in the dining room itself, you're also getting the Shalom Bayis from that candle.
It's covering all the shittas.
That's right. That's why that's the one that deserves the bracha, because that's the primary candle, because you're getting the Oinig and the Kavod with that candle also. The other candles are merely to prevent stumbling and tripping. That's only Shalom Bayis. Now, item Zion, am I allowed to make a bracha on the other candles? Although the Ramah says that you're only going to make the bracha once. It's like when you put up a mezuzah. You're going to be putting up a mezuzah on every room in the house. So you make the bracha once, right? And then you have in mind, it'll cover all the rest of the mezuzah. So she's busy turning on, arranging the house for Shabbos. And she has in mind that all of these lightings should be for Shabbos. And then she finally makes the bracha on one of the candles. Which of the candles deserves the bracha? The one that's at the table, the dining room. But what if, for whatever reason, you can't make the bracha on that one? For whatever reason, you're not going to be lighting the one by the dining table. And we can see scenarios coming up. So can I make a bracha on the other candles that are only there for Shalom Bayis? That's not going to be the main primary Oneg Shabbos. I'm not going to be eating there. That's not the candle that I'm using to honor the Shabbos. Those are just candles to provide light in the other rooms. Can I, b'dieved, as a second best, can I make the candle bracha on those candles? So it's very interesting. I wanted to show how it develops in the halacha. So we discussed at the very end of last year, we were a little bit rushed actually, but at the very end of last year, we discussed the concept that there's a machlokes, there's different minhagim. The Gemara already says that there are different customs if we light on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara tells us that both customs are trying to accomplish the same thing. The opinion that says that you, since it's prohibited to have intimacy, to have husband and wife, the relationships between on Yom Kippur, it's one of the five Inuyim. So the opinion that says not to light a candle is that way the person won't gaze at his wife, or won't be aroused by gazing at his wife. That's the reason not to light a candle. The opinion to light a candle is trying to accomplish the same thing if there's a candle lit. So Klal Yisrael are tsanua, Klal Yisrael are modest and discreet, so we're not supposed to have relations by the candle. So therefore that's a reason that'll also prevent the sin of having relations on Yom Kippur. So both opinions are trying to accomplish the same thing. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch says that if there's a candle burning in the house anyway, so let's say nowadays, right, we're not going to be walking into a pitch black car. Your house is going to have a light somewhere, right? So you're going to end up noticing your wife in any case. So then you might as well have a candle everywhere because you're going to end up seeing your wife anyway. So nowadays it becomes more obsolete, the whole idea. So there's a machlekes, which custom to follow, do we light candles on Yom Kippur or not? And it depended on the custom. The poskim paskin that we should light candles on Yom Kippur, which what we do, and we do have light in the house on Yom Kippur, just like any other Yom Tov, just like on Shabbos. And then there's a dispute in the poskim if you make a bracha now, because since it depends on a minhag, so it's not an obligation, maybe we never recite a bracha on a minhag. But other poskim say that we do. Our custom is that we do light candles in honor of Yom Kippur, and we do make a bracha. Now, this is very interesting. The Mordechai says that even if Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, where according to everyone, you should light candles at least in honor of the Shabbos. So forget about it. Even if your custom normally is not to light a candle on Yom Kippur, but in honor of the Shabbos, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, in honor of the Shabbos, you'll be lighting a candle anyway for Shabbos. Nevertheless, says the Mordechai from the Sefer HaMitzvos, Madlikin below bracha. We light without a bracha. Why don't we recite a bracha over the candle that we're lighting on Yom Kippur? For the obvious reason. Hoyel she'enu balat zarech achila. Because we're not going to be eating by the candle. You can't eat on Yom Kippur. So what do you see from the Mordechai? You see from the Mordechai that even if you're lighting a candle on Shabbos / Yom Kippur, where there is a mitzvah, even if you accept the custom that there is a mitzvah to light, we still don't make a bracha, because you can only make a bracha on the candle that's providing oneg Shabbos when you're eating by the candlelight. If you're not going to be eating anyway, then the candle, like you said, Rav Moshe, the candle's not loaded enough, and you can't make a bracha in the first place, right? So we were discussing that the primary candle to make the bracha is the one by the table. Can you make a bracha on the other candles if the circumstance requires it? So according to the Mordechai, clearly not. Because on Yom Kippur, when you're lighting anyway, and even if it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos together, where you're lighting anyway, you light without a bracha, because you won't be eating. So clearly the Mordechai's opinion is that you can only make a bracha on the candle that provides oneg, on the main candle by the meal. So that's what I wrote here in item ches, umavur lidi day. So it's clear that according to his opinion, the rak yachal levarach al haneres shemadlikin becheder ha'oichel. You're only allowed to make a bracha. That's the only candle that deserves a bracha, the candle that you're lighting in the cheder ha'oichel, kivan dehem iker, because that's the primary candle. That would be the opinion of the Mordechai. Now, naturally, we don't paskin like that. We paskin like the Rush, who says in Yuma, the Mordechai was also in Yuma, the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, in the Yuma paskins, he argues in paskins, and this is the expression of the Rush, this is a quote from the Rush, the Yire, it appears to me, says the Rush, Sheyesh levarach al hadlokas haner, that we should make a bracha on the candle on Yom Kippur, kemo b'Shabbos, just like on Shabbos, mishum shalom bayis, because of shalom bayis. So clearly, although that wasn't the point of the Rush, that can you make a bracha because of shalom bayis or not, the Rush is coming to say, we light on Yom Kippur and we make a bracha. Why? Because although there's no oneg, we're not going to be eating by the candle, obviously, but you make a bracha because of shalom bayis. So this answers our question. If I would ask the question again, can we make a bracha over a ner that's not the primary candle because I'm not going to be eating by that ner? Can I make a bracha? It's a machlekes. According to the Mordechai, no. According to the Rush, yes. We paskin like the Rush, and therefore we're going to paskin that b'dieved, you could make a bracha over the ner that's for sure. Shalom Bayis on Shabbos also. That's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tuf Resh Yud. That's the halachas there regarding Yom Kippur. So Umavur, so it's clear, the Shaper Mavarchan Al Ner, the Hurak Mishum Shalom Bayis, that you can recite a bracha over the candle. That's only for Shalom Bayis. So in item tests, I summarize because the Mishnah Brura paskins that very halacha. Says the Mishnah Brura there in Reish Samach Gimel Sif Katan Mem Hey, Mihu, he quotes, Im Yesh Harbe Nashim, if there are many women in the house, let's say there's a simcha going on, or let's say you're in a hotel together, or whatever it is, V'ein L'kol Achas Shulchan B'fnei Atzma, so it's not practical for everyone to be lighting where they'll be eating. Imagine if everybody's in a hotel, there's too many candles. You can't fill the entire table with candles. So where should I light? So says the Mishnah Brura, you can light in your room upstairs where you're going to be sleeping. It's not practical to light over here. You can light in your room where you'll be sleeping. So each woman could pick a light that she wants to light, a room that she wants to light, and make a bracha over that candle. So you have the chandelier. So in the old days, the chandelier had real candles over there. So you can make a bracha over those lights in the hallway or in the middle of the room. Hatulya b'emsa habayis, that's dangling in the middle of the room. Ukiyai gavna, anything of that nature. And here's the Mishnah Brura's punchline. The klola naktinan, we have a general rule. The bekol mokum shemadle kedelasa sham ezet tashmish. Anywhere you're lighting, in order, because you're planning on using that room where you want to have light in the room to be able to do something. Ika mishum shalom bayis. There's at least Shalom Bayis for Roy Levarech, and therefore it's befitting, it's proper to make the bracha. So obviously you're only going to make the bracha once on one of the candles. Ideally, you should make the bracha on the loaded candle that has all the elements of it, the Shalom Bayis, the Kavod Shabbos, and the Oinik Shabbos. That's the Gner by the meal. If for whatever reason you can't light there because there are too many people lighting there, and you're going to opt to light somewhere else, you can make the bracha somewhere else, just like we do on Yom Kippur.
So the hotels, where they put a separate room just where they you shouldn't really.
So we mentioned this once. So that's a big shiloh.
That checks all the boxes except for the Tashrish one. There's no use for it.
So, which one? This one?
Yeah,
so that's what we actually mentioned this a while ago. We mentioned this a while ago that if you're going to be lighting, if you're sitting in a hotel or there's some kind of simcha and there's no room to light over here, you can't light on your table or next to your table, and they designate a side room somewhere, like in the hallway, like on the way to the kitchen or something, out of the way to light, so you really shouldn't make the bracha on those candles because they're serving no purpose at all. It's not honoring the Shabbos. No one's going to be there.
How do you light a candle over Shabbos?
So in those kinds of cases, in a hotel, either you can light a candle in your own room upstairs, or you can...
probably not a good idea.
They wouldn't allow it. Or you can light a candle, let's say, by the table if they would allow it. See, in a hotel, what do people do in a hotel? They only... So it would be better. It probably would be better to either sit there by the candles for a while and enjoy the candlelight. That's an itza. That's an itza.
What if it's next to the shul? Because I saw in Eretz Yisrael in this new hotel where we were staying, the men were davening, but the women were staying outside. They weren't sitting in, davening. It was all Sephardim.
Right.
They were sitting there.
They were socializing.
But right next to the
so that
chairs
would be,
were right
that would
next
be
to
okay
the
because they're enjoying be right. they're enjoying the Shabbos lights. they were enjoying the Shabbos lights that they lit. So that would be an Eitzah to sit by the candles for a while. Another Eitzah would be, unfortunately, not to make a bracha on those and to just have in mind to, when you turn on the electric light or the night light in your own room or whatever, that you're turning that on in honor of Shabbos. And then maybe we'll discuss next week. There's a few essays from different Paiskim. Can you make a bracha over an electric light that we once discussed? There's a whole shaila about that. Some Paiskim say it's better not to, but if the woman insists, like she's really going to feel like she's missing something if she didn't make the bracha that week, that the lashon of the paiskim is the chavivus of the mitzvah, then they even permit making a bracha over a light bulb, but it would be better not to. So those are the two solutions, either to light the candles properly in a room that you're going to be using, or to sit by those candles and enjoy them for the time being before the meal or whatever, until, or to, So, I used to hear like a half hour. The poskim that I've seen recently just say for a little while. They don't give a shear. And then the other solution would be, if you want to really play it safe, don't make a bracha this time, and just have in mind when you're turning on the lights in your room that you're turning it on in honor of the Shabbos. Now,
I know, like, on shoes and different things, there's a lot of, does it matter what candle you light first?
So the Poskim say, that's really what the Ramah said. The Ramah that we quoted here in item Vav, so the woman accepts the Shabbos when she lights the main candle. So especially in the old days, if she would be kindling candles all over the place, so she didn't accept the Shabbos until she finally lights the candle in the dining room. So let's say she would light the candle in the dining room, and then she would decide that, oh, I still want to light another one. It would be too late.
I mean, he's saying like a multi, numerous candles.
Oh, when you're lighting, let's say if you have a candle, does it matter which one? So I don't think so. I didn't see anybody say. Now this is very interesting, and this is going to make a big nafkamina. Now this will be a big difference between the different types of candles that you're lighting. There's a candle for Kavik Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, and then there's a candle for Shalom Bayis. It makes a practical difference now what the reason of the candle is, and this is a very interesting thing. So in item Yud, it says in Shulchan Aruch like this, and this is a big machlekes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and our minhag is actually like the Ramah, but it's not so simple. The Shulchan Aruch says the following: Shnayim or Shloisha Balabatim, if you ever have two or three homeowners, so whether they're men or women, it doesn't matter, so that you have a few people who are eating together, who are all equally obligated to light, right? They're all eating in the same place. So Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Shekol Echad Bevarach Al Menorah Shelo. This is actually what we do, that if you ever have a few women, or you're a guest in somebody's home, a few people are eating together, or your daughter-in-law is home, or whatever it is. So all the women light in the same room, and they all make a bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch brings. There are those who say that. The Yesh Megamgein Bedavar. But there are those who take issue with that, because once you light a few candles, the rest of the candles are redundant. So why are you making a bracha on the other candles? What are the other women accomplishing when they light those candles? There's already light in the room. There's already honor to Shabbos. The other candles are redundant. So it would be a bracha levatalah. So says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, nochen lizoyer b'safik brachas. So we should treat this as a safik bracha. What's the halacha by a safik bracha? The lo yivarech el echad. Only one person should make the bracha. Because if you have a few people lighting in the dining room, so after you light the first or second or third candle, the rest of the candles are redundant. So you can't make a bracha. So it's a bracha levatalah. I guess once you get to the point where if no one else would be there, you'd light that many candles. Let's say you decided for yourself that you need three candles to really enjoy your meal, right? So now once the three candles are lit, all the other candles are redundant. That is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch.
And then they should auction off
makes the bracha. So you do a lottery. Umavur, the choshish hamachaber lebracha levatalah. The machaber is concerned with a bracha, a blessing in vain. On the extra lightings that are redundant. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch recommends not making a bracha. Only the first person who's lighting should make the bracha, and everyone else is allowed to light. Why not? But you can't make a bracha anymore because it's redundant. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says a brilliant idea. The Aruch HaShulchan says like this. There's a concept that if you all do the mitzvah simultaneously, there's no way to determine who's doing the mitzvah and who's redundant. So I one time mentioned this. I saw a Rashi in Erevin. Rashi in Erevin says that imagine if you find tefillin lying around on Shabbos outside, right? And you can't carry. Imagine if there's no Erev. So you can wear the tefillin home in order to protect the tefillin. You can wear, even on Shabbos, you can wear the tefillin. It's not considered an act of carrying. So the Gemara debates over there, are you chayiv to wear tefillin on Shabbos? Are you not chayiv to wear tefillin on Shabbos? We paskin that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, but there is an opinion that you can wear tefillin on Shabbos. Says Rashi, if you put two pairs of tefillin on at the same time, there's no way to determine, I don't mean Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, I mean two Rashi tefillins, there's no way to determine which pair of tefillin are you using for your mitzvah and which one is redundant. Since you're doing them both simultaneously, somehow it's considered that you're performing the mitzvah with both tefillins, because there's no way to determine which is the extra one and which is the primary one. So the Aruch HaShulchan says like this, even if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch, that a redundant candle, you can't recite a bracha. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you all light simultaneously, now I don't know like how precise simultaneously means, but if you're all getting up there to light together, right, on your marks, get set, go, if everybody lights simultaneously, so nobody is lighting a redundant candle, because you have to compare it, what was it before we lit versus after. So if a candle is lit already, so then what are you doing lighting an extra one? It's redundant. But if before I lit it was dark, and now that I'm lighting its light, just because you're doing the same thing simultaneously, we're all providing light equally, so therefore we can all make a bracha. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, Yecholim Kulam Levarech, if we light simultaneously, we can all make a bracha. And there's a famous expression, Hai Minayu Mafkis, which one will you exclude? Can you single out anyone who's lighting a redundant candle? Nobody's lighting the redundant one. Nobody's lighting the primary one. You're all lighting the same. We can't exclude anyone from anyone else. Therefore, you can all make a bracha. So this would seemingly be a solution, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, which the Sfardim probably follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that if they all light, then you can all make a bracha. There's a concept that we all are simultaneously being yotze the mitzvah with the hadlaka, and it's as if you all lit one big candle that's a ner hamoyel. You lit a candle that's beneficial, that's accomplishing something, because there was no other candle that was lit before your candle. So if there's already other candles lit, what you're lighting is redundant. But if we're all lighting simultaneously, then you can't say my candle's redundant and your candle's primary, or your candle's redundant and my candle's primary. All candles were lit at the same time. You measure it, what was there before we lit versus what's there after we lit, and all the candles got in at the same time. Now, the Rama, and this is our custom, the Rama argues and says, Aval anu ein noyegin kein, that's not our custom. Meaning, the Rama paskins that we do allow everybody to light, even one after the other, and they can all make a bracha. V'loy nechshev levatala, it's not considered to be a blessing in vain. The Beis Yosef brings, the Beis Yosef was the author of the Shulchan Aruch, so even though the Shulchan Aruch, he prefers not to make a bracha, but in the Beis Yosef, that's his lengthy commentary on the Torah, the Beis Yosef acknowledges, he brings something called the Ksuva Ashkenazis, it's a Ksuva from Ashkenaz, which is what the Rama says, Beis v'gimel balabatim, oichon amokam echad, that all the people are eating in the same room, everybody is allowed to make a bracha, and this is what the Rama was going with, everybody's allowed to make a bracha on their own candle, even though there's sufficient light, even though the Or Zerua was the one who questioned it, it's missing a gimel, there are those who have that custom, and in my humble opinion, the reason is the more candles there are, you can never put a cap on it, the more light there is, the nicer it is, and therefore no candle is redundant. Even if you normally light three or four candles or two candles, and now you have 10 candles, it's not redundant, says the Tshuva Ashkenazis, because the more the merrier, the more candles there are, the nicer it is. The Simcha Yaseira. So this is a concept called Toisefes Or. This is a concept called the Riboy Or, that itself is a reason to make a bracha because of the Riboy Or. Now, so let's just quickly summarize what we've been saying. So we have a reason to light a candle for Kavik Shabbos. We have a reason to light a candle for Oinik Shabbos. And then we have a reason to light other candles in other rooms for Shalom Bayis. There's actually an argument if you're allowed to make a bracha on candles in general, right? There's two opinions. We paskin that we do make a bracha on the Shabbos candles, but then there's a secondary dispute if you can make a bracha on the other candles for Shalom Bayis. There are those who will make a bracha on Yom Kippur. There are those who do. So that evolves. Our custom is we do make a bracha even on the candle of Shalom Bayis. Now we're discussing that if you have many people lighting in the same room for Kavod and Oneg, the Rama paskins that the added light brings more simcha, and that itself justifies making another bracha. The Minchas Yitzchak, he brings a very interesting question. So some people have a minig. I know that Chabad has the minig. Other people have the minig where the daughters at home also light the candles along with their mother. So the question is like this. The question is that according to the letter of the law, the girls or anybody in the home is not required to light candles once the woman of the home or whoever is lighting lights, because anybody who's a member of the household is automatically covered by the light of whoever lit. whether it's the father, the mother, whoever it is, all the members of the household are automatically covered. So how do we understand that the daughters or whatever are lighting in addition to their mother, right? Especially in light of the fact, no pun intended, in light of the fact that they're lighting with the this Tosefes Or. They're only adding more candles. So the Shulchan Aruch, right, so the Shulchan Aruch already said, I'm not happy with people making a bracha once there are candles lit. The Ramah comes along and says that there's a tshuva Ashkenazis that for Tosefes Or, for the added lights, you can make the bracha. The Minchas Yitzchak questions, but that might only be if you're obligated to light. You have an obligation to light somewhere, so I want to light here also, so I can make a bracha, because at least I have an obligation. But if there's no underlying obligation, how can you light an extra candle and make a bracha where you're not accomplishing anything primary? There's no obligation, so how do we justify the bracha?
What if we make the bracha together?
So some people say that if they would light first, it would be preferable, because then you don't have any other light there. But still, how can you make a bracha on a candle if there's no obligation to light, and all you're doing is just increasing the light?
So the it's the same thing you just said before.
Though. No, because before I was talking about if they all light together.
Right.
Yeah. So if you all light together, maybe you would have the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan solution. But we don't do that. The mother lights and then the girls light, right?
No.
So first of all, right? First of all, the Shulchan Aruch says not to make a bracha in the first place. And even the Ramah who allows a bracha, but that's only because you're obligated to light. But how can we have a minute to light? So the Minchas Yitzchak says a very beautiful idea. He brings it from the Eshel Avram. The Minchas Yitzchak says, since for whatever reason that became the minug, so the minug itself becomes a halacha, and then it's not a bracha levatala, you can make a bracha on the minug. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says a similar thing. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach says a similar idea in a similar context. I wanted to bring an example. Many shuls Friday night make recite Kiddush.
Yes.
Now, according to conventional halacha, it doesn't have it doesn't have an explanation, because it was somehow grandfathered in from the days when they used to sleep and eat in the shul. So it makes sense to make kiddush to pater the guests. Nowadays there's no kiddush. Nobody's yotze with that kiddush. That's why we give the cup to a kid, because so what are we making kiddush for? But there's a concept that the minig became a minig and it's grandfathered in. So there is such a concept that although we wouldn't introduce such a minig, but once it's there, we continue the minig. Now the Ksoisa Shulchan says like this. The Ksoisa Shulchan in item Dalit says that, let's think now what we've accomplished. We talked about lighting extra lights in the room for Kavod Shabbos because of Tosefes Or, the more the merrier. We also talked about having lights in every room of the house for Shalom Bayis. So the Bari HaShulchan has a very interesting idea that the whole heter of the Ramah to make brachas on increasing the amount of candles that there are, even though they're slightly redundant, is only in the dining room. Because in the dining room, arguably, the more light there is, the more honor it is, the more Oinik Shabbos there is. But if you're just trying to avoid tripping, then one little nightlight is enough. There's no idea that you can add light, because you're not trying to honor or enjoy Shabbos with that candle. That was done in the dining room. These lights are just to avoid. It's just to avoid tripping. It's just for Shalom Bayis. So then you should not have increased light there. How does this translate practically? This translates practically that if for whatever reason you're lighting, let's say like in the hotel scenario that we said before, if they do allow you or whatever, or let's say you're going to be eating your meal somewhere else and you want to light at home, right? Mm-hmm. So the only reason why you're lighting at home is to get the mitzvah of lighting candles. It's not going to be where you're having your own Eid Shabbos. You're going to be eating the meal somewhere else. You should turn the light off in the room first, then turn it on for Shabbos, and then light the candles in order that it's all one big lighting, that the bracha will cover all of the accomplishing of the light. If the light's already on from before and you're lighting candles, what are you lighting them for? You're not going to be eating here. You're not going to be enjoying the candles. It's simply to provide light, but there's light anyway. It's redundant. And the Ramah's concept of adding light doesn't really apply if the only reason why there's light is that you shouldn't trip. You shouldn't bump into the wall. So that's what it applies. However, if you're lighting in the dining room the way we normally do under normal circumstances, so then technically you're not obligated to turn off the light, because we can rely on the Ramah that additional candles, especially nowadays the candles are certainly there just to honor the Shabbos. They don't serve any other purpose. So they themselves create the ambiance of the Shabbos. So then you would be allowed to light the candles even with the existing light. So this is like a practical outcome of what we've been discussing, that the candles that are only there to avoid tripping, they're only significant if that that's the candle that was providing the light. If there's already light there before, it's totally redundant. You can't make any bracha unless you turn the light bulb off and turn it back on. But in the dining room where you're lighting extra candles to honor the Shabbos, that itself is a reason to deserve a bracha, like the Ramah says, Tosefes, or the additional light in honor of Shabbos deserves a bracha. There are those who have the custom that even in the dining room, they first turn off the light and then they turn it on for Kavik Shabbos, and then they light, and they consider this all, like all just lighting a whole lot of different types of candles, and they would make the bracha after they would turn on the light specifically in honor of the Shabbos. Yasha Koyach.